We're going to start the Shir Mirtz Hashem here on Kuf Heyam and Aleph, about 10 lines up from the bottom. Boy, Rabbi Lozer, I just wanted to add a few words. We got cut off, some technical problem with the tape recorder. Just two or three sentences got cut off from the recording. And on the words right before that, it's Tzrichim Hechsher Tumah Bimokom Acher. And if I'm not mistaken, that's where we got cut off. And the meaning here is that if it's not sofon letame tuma chamura, then we need hechsher letame bimokom acher. So if we're talking about negiya bedover tame, if it's sofon letame tuma chamura, we don't need to be metame them bedover acher. They're tameim in and of themselves, be atzman. But Rabbi Yishmael and the Braisa never meant to say that if it's sofa litame tuma chamura, then it's tame, even if it's not royal lituma. For sure we need royal lituma. A balchai, as long as it's alive, is not royal lituma. And therefore, according to the Chachamim Shita, the soya mishtalech is not mitame. In other words, just to summarize, there's a machlokes about how to interpret Rabbi Yishmael when he says, Einam tzrichim hechsher. Does that include even Eino Tzrichlios Re'uyel a Kabbal Tuma, even if something is not in the parasha of Kabbalah's Tuma, for example, a Balchai, an animal that's alive? And the Gemara quotes the words of Chachamim with regard to the statement of Rabbi Yishmael, Tzricha Hechsher. The Iker Machlokes is how to interpret the negative side, the tzad ha-shlila of ein tzrichen hechsher. And now, Rabosai, we begin our sugya for today, and that's boy Rabbi Lozer. Now that we've concluded with regard to Parah HaNisrafim and Parah Aduma, that they are mitame ochlim b'negiyasam, and this is after the Shechita, the meat is royal kabbal tuma, and there even the Chacham agree that it's metame b'maga, as far as Ochlin u'mashkin is concerned. However, in the case of Soya Mishtaleach, where the animal is alive and well, it's not roy for tuma. We never find a live animal that could carry tuma. And therefore, even though it's destined to be what we call sofan Leos avatuma, that doesn't mean it's roy to transfer tuma. Let's use that word, to transmit tuma to something else in a way that's a special halacha that's decreed by the Torah. That we don't have according to the Chacham. Now, boy, Rabbi Lozer, we've had in the past a number of sfeikas of Rabbi Lozer. Here we have the next one. Parim usrafim hanisrafim usirim hanisrafim maushi yitamu ochlin umashkim bifnim kibachutz. So we're talking about the possibility of being mitame ochlin umashkim even when the parim and israfim are still inside the azara. And the truth is that the tuma of the basar of Parim and Israfim is engendered outside the Azara. In other words, right now the status of the Parim and Israfim is that sofan, that at the end it'll be a tuma chamur, it'll be an avat tuma. But right now, in its present state within the Azara, it's only a Rishon Lituma with the potential of becoming an Avatuma down the line after it's brought outside of the Azara. Rabbi Lozer is wondering about Seirim and Parim and Nisrafim within the Azara. Can they already considered to have this ability, this potential to be Metame still while they're in the Azara, even though they have not actualized the avatuma status? And the Gemara formulates in the name of Rabbi Elazar the suffix in the following way: Mechusar Yitzia kemechusar Maisa Dami Olo. Shall we consider that since we need the Yitzia and now it's Mechusar Yitzia, it hasn't been taken yet outside the Azara, then it's like Mechusar Maisa. Mechusar Maisa means anything that needs a Maisa in order to raise its status and generate some sort of Chalos. If it's Mechusar Maisa, then there's no Chalos. Here, the Parim and Israfim are Mechusar Maisa because you have to take them out of the Azara. And taking them out of the Azara is a Maisa. So Mechusar Yitzia, according to this side in the Gemara Safik of Rabbi Elazar, is Mechusar Maisa, and therefore cannot be Metame Ochlin because it's not yet an Avatuma until it goes out of the Azara. Although, what shall we say? No, that we can consider the possibility that Mechusar Yitzia is not considered Mechusar Maisa. So again, let's just review. As a general rule, in Kala Tara Kula, if you need a very, very significant Maisa Chashuv in order to attain a certain status and generate a Chalos in the Chefto, then that legal category needs the Maisa. Before the Maisa, that legal status is not generated. And based on that, we would assume that removing the Parim and Israfim, the Sirim and Israfim from the Azara is defined as a Maisa, a significant Maisa that's going to generate a status of Av HaTuma. And Mechusar Yitzias Ki Mechusar Maisa. The Gemara has another possibility that in the case of Seirim HaNisrafim and Parim HaNisraf, we already consider that potential to be Metame as an Av HaTuma, and the Mechusar Yitzia is not considered Mechusar Maisa. He has a kasha here in Tosis Diramasa Mechusar that if you would consider that these Parim and Israf are ready to Metamim while they're in the Azara, then the Tumah should be engendered immediately following Zrika, even if the Emurim are not inside. In other words, Nitmu Haimurim means that if the Emurim receive Tumah, it's impossible to be Makir of them. And Tosis says that the Mechusar Chaticha, if you need to cut up the Emurim, that's for sure considered Mechusar Maisa. In other words, since you have to be chotech the emurim before the hotzah to the Beis HaSreifa, it's impossible to consider it now as if it's sofa l'tami tumuchamura. That's as far as the emurim is concerned, but as far as the basar is concerned, the Gemara is sad to say that it's not considered mechusar maisa, and therefore it could be metame ochlin umashkin even within the azara. And here Rabbi Elazar answers his own question. And he says that Basar Dibai Hadar Pashta Mechusar Yitzia Ki Mechusar Maisa Dami. In other words, the carcass, the basar of this par, as long as it's inside the Azara, could not be Metame Ochlin in the Azara. That's the final conclusion of Rabbi Elazar. And basically, he's applying the general rule that applies to Mechusar Maisa, to the case of Parim and Israf and Mechusar Yitzia. Now, Boy Mine, Rabbi Abba Bar Shmuel mi Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, now we have a suffix of Rabbi Abba that he addressed to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Nivlas of Tar, we're talking about a Nivlas of Tar, that means the carcass of an unslaughtered kosher bird. L'Rabbi Meir Maushi Yitami B'Kizayis, normally the shear of being Mitame, as far as Tumas Blia, the Beis HaBlia of eating an Oaf Tar that was an Avela, is dependent upon Kibetza. And the shear of Kibetza, the size of an egg, is a volume that's greater than that of a Kizayis. Now, Rabbi Meir was cholek on Chachamim with regard to the soil azazel, that according to Rav Meir, it could be metame ochlin, even though it's chai. Now, the Chacham never accepted this because as long as the sawyer is alive, we have a principle that it's not roy l'tama. A bal chai that's chai is not roy to be metame under any circumstances. And we're not going to make the exception to the rule in the case of the sawyer l'azazel, which is alive, based on sofon lios avatuma, to be metame yatuma chamura. Now, basically, if we apply the same logic in the case of Nevelas of Tar, which again is going to become an Avatuma with Beis Ablia, to be Metame Adam V'Ochlim, we're going to apply the same logic that a Kezias of this Nevelas of Tar would not be sufficient to generate Tumas Ochlim, because even though it's true that we have here Sofolios Avatuma, but nevertheless, the minimum volume for being metame ochlin is a kebetza, and a kezias is of this nevela is too small. It's less than a kebetza. Cannot be metame ochlin as a rishon l'tuma. And basically, we're applying the normal barometers, the normal standards, to the case of nevela self tar. As long as it's not a case of beis ablia. Now, Rashi Shita is that a pachos mikibetza is not even makabel tuma. Forget about giving tuma to something else. Now, we know that a kezias of an oaf, again a kosher oaf that was a nevela, is metame bebeis hablia, even a kezias worth, because then we're using the shear of achila b'cholatar kula. So the achila which generates the tuma of Adam or Begadim Bebeis Hablia is the standard tuma. I'm sorry, the standard volume of that constitutes an achila, because Beis Hablia means achila, and that's a kezias. Now, does that impact on the tuma that this oaf nevela, again oaf kosher nevela, could be metame Ochlin as a Rishon Lituma, a Tuma Kala, even if there's only Kezias? Again, you're telling me that it's Sofolios Avatuma. But what about now? Now it's not yet an Avatuma. He's not swallowing it in his Beis Ablia. Can it effectuate a Tuma on Ochlin as a Rishon Lituma? And even though it's only a Kezias of the Oaf Nevela, which would break the normal dinim that require a kibetza, but we're going to say that these dinim are already different because sofolios avatuma. This is all based on Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir told us that in the case of a sor lazazil, even while it's alive, it could be metame ochlin. And normally, under normal circumstances, the general dinim, it cannot be a rishon l'tuma because it's a live animal. So now Rabbi Abba is asking, well, just like Rabbi Meir made the exception to the rule in the case of the sawyer l'azazel, that it could be metame ochlin umashkin even as a balchai that's chai, so too we can apply this exceptional rule and say that, anticipating as it were the kezias bebeis hablia as an avatum of being metame bekezias without kibetza, that potential exists, and therefore could be that the oaf Tomei is metame v'maga ochlin umashkin, breaking the rules, the general rules of tuma, even with the kezias, which is too small to contaminate other ochlin. That's what Rabbi Abba wants to suggest. Boy, mine Rabbi Abba, etc., etc. Nivlas of Tarla, Rabbi Meir, Maoshi, Tami, Bekezias. Omar. Just one second. The Gemara says that if the nevela is lying on the ground, then for sure it could not be metame b'kezias. In other words, the power of a kezias of an oaf, in the case of nevela, to be metame ochlin, is based on the fact that it can contaminate a person and good through the Beis Habli if he swallows it. So we have to get a situation which reflects the potential for that ultimate tumah of an avat tumah. But if this kizayis of nevela is lying on the ground, then perhaps it's never going to be eaten. And in such a case, we cannot anticipate the potential of this nevela to be metame ochlin as an avat tumah. And therefore, we need to apply the universal requirement of a kibetza in the nevela. But dinakit befume lo tibaylcha ki tibaylcha dinakit le biyade. On the other extreme, in a case where a person is holding it in his mouth, and in his mouth he also has foodstuff, he has ochlin in his mouth simultaneously with the nevelas of tar. Again, it's not yet in the Beis Habliya, but it's very close to the Beis Habliya. In such a case, the Gemara says that's also not a suffix, it's not even a question. So a person has food in his mouth, and at the same time he has a kezias of nevela of an of kosher in his mouth, then it's undeniable that according to Rabbi Meir, the kezias of nevela would be metame these ochlin through maga, even though it's only kezias, because it's already in a matzav, in a situation, a condition to function as an avatu if he just swallows it. Again, even though he's not allowed to swallow it because it's an avela, and that would be a violation of a lav d'oraisa, but nevertheless, physically, he's close to becoming an avatuma, so it's already roi lekach. But when is the suffix of Rabbi Abba? That's the nukat lebiyodo. He hasn't yet brought it, this avela, into his mouth. He's still holding it in his hands. And this nevela comes in contact with ochlin umashkin, and now it's not mechusar maisa really, but it's mechusar kreva. And the question is: this is Rabbi Abba's suffek, is mechusar kreva kimechusar maisa dami? Shall we assume that there's a mechusar maisa here because he needs to put it into his mouth and he hasn't yet done so? And therefore we will not apply the principle of Rabbi Meir of Sofo Lutame Tuma Chamura that eventually will become an Ava Tuma. Or shall we say this is not called Mechusa Maisa because all he has to do is pick up his hand and put the nevela into his mouth. And then we'll apply and activate the principle of Sofo Lutame Tuma Chamura Tuma or Ava Tuma, and it's Metami ready now, Bimaga Ochlin Umashkin. And here we turn to Daf Kufhei Amid Beis. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba wants to be poshek this safek, and he tells Rabbi Abba Bar Shmuel the following: Mechusa Kreva Lav Ke Mechusa Maisa Domi. It's not like Mechusa Maisa, because that's only Mechusa Kreva. It's not like the case of Yitzia Minazora where we concluded that's called Mechusa Maisa. And therefore, according to the Maskone here, Rabbi Chiya, a nevelas of tar, even a kezias worth that's in his hand, would be metame ochlin betumach kala, even if it's only a kezias, and that's because sofal etame tumach amura bebeis habliya. Now the Gemara analyzes the words of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba from the perspective, from the lens of the Mishnah in Taras that deals with Nevelas Oftar. The Gemara asks, in the name of Rabbi Abba to Rabbi Chiya, from a Mishnah in the first parak of Masechta Taras, Shlosha Sar Dvarim Nemru B'Nivlas Oftar. There are 13 dinim that are enumerated in this Mishnah regarding nevela of an oftar. V'zeh echad mehem. And one of them is this one. And what is that? Regarding a nevela oftar, tzricha machshava. In other words, he has to think about this nevela and make a decision that he's going to eat it. And then it's metame, and if it doesn't have a kizayis, then it's not roi letame tuma chamura, and therefore it's not mitztarif to pachos mikibetza of ochlin in order to be mekabel tuma, and also vein tzuchi hechsher. So let's mention a few points here in order to clarify this sugya. There are a number of different mitamim, like for example, a mess is mitami, an avail is mitami, a sheretz, a zov, a mitzora, many different mitamim. And they all have tumah in and of themselves. And in these cases, they can be mitame everything. Adam, kelim, ochlin, umashke. This is called tumah chamura. And anything that's mitame betumah chamura is considered an avatumah. The exception is the mess, it's considered aviavos atuma. And the methods by which this tuma is transferred, is transmitted, is not always equal in all the avos atuma. For example, in nevelas, behema v'chaya, it's metami v'magu masa. In the case of a mess, it's metami v'ohel. In nevelas of tar, it's mitame only in the Beis Habliya, when a person eats it. Then he becomes tome. And there are other scenarios in which the hitamus can be transmitted. And all these cases are objects or people that were nitpoim from, they became tome by virtue of an av hatuma that transmitted tuma to them. Now, you could talk about maga, you could talk about masa. Again, each one has its own din. And through maga or masa, you might generate a rishon l'tuma, something that's not metame, anything more than ochlin u'mashke, but not adam v'kelim or adam v'begadim. This is called a tuma kala. So tuma kala is something that can transmit tuma. It received tuma from an avatuma, can transmit tuma as a rishon l'tumah, as a tumah kala through maga and masa. Now, ochlin u'mashkin can transmit tumah, and they can become tumah. And their tumah is called tumas ochlin. But there are certain conditions, special conditions, that apply for the ochlin to be makabel tumas ochlin, and then to be able to transmit that tumah beyond. For example, you need a machol that's mukhshar lekabel tuma. It means one of the shiva mashkin came upon this machol, this ochel, before it came in contact with a sheretz or any sort of mitame. Again, just to list the shiva mashkin, we have yayin, dvash, shemen, cholov, tal, dam, mayim. Now, in addition to requiring contact with the shiva mashkim in order to be mekabel tuma, he must consider it in his mind as an ochel. That's called a machshava, and that's one of the conditions to transmit tuma. If you have a machol, it's not going to be metame unless it has the machshava l'shem achil, and also it has to have a shir of kibetza, as opposed to tumas nevela, where there's a tuma bekizayis. Now, some are of the opinion that even to be mekabel tuma, they need a shear of kibetza. That's the sheet of Rashi here, Dibra Maschel Tzricha. Rashi in Psochim on Daf Lamed Gimel brings two opinions on this matter. So in the case of Nevelas Oftar, the tuma is not a tuma chamura to be metame odom v'kelim, but it can be metame as an avatuma if it was swallowed in the Beis Habliya. Since nevelas oftar is an ochel unto itself, again we'll soon see who eats it, but therefore if something comes in contact with it, or if it comes in contact with the dover tame, it will be mekabel atuma, again the tuma kala of tumas ochlin. Tumas ochlin by definition is a tuma kala. And it could transmit tumah based on these conditions. In other words, if it has hechsher mayim, it's makabel tumah to transmit tumah. If there was a machshava l'achila, if it has a shir of kezayis, and so forth. In the brisa that we had earlier of Rabbi Yishmael on Amud Aleph, if it's sofo l'tamei tumah chamura, then it's metamei tumah kalbi atzma. And it doesn't need to come in contact with a dover tumah. And it doesn't need hechsher. And the possibility that we raise that maybe even a kezayis would be enough. So therefore, a nevelis of tahar could transmit tumah even though it itself, the nevela, never came in contact with the dover tumah. And it never was moist and never came in contact with a soaked in a liquid. But what you do need is a machsheva sachila. Why? Because it's not derech to eat it. Now again, it might depend on a sugin bechoros that differentiates between kfarim and major cities krachim, that in kfarim you won't find anyone necessarily who's going to eat this nevela of an oftar. But in a city that's made up of amrav, maybe it's considered omed lachila. But nevertheless, since, and therefore I should say, it doesn't require a machshava. But we're dealing now with kfarim, smaller, more limited populations, and therefore it's not omid lachilu mitzadats, but you need a machshava to that you intend to eat it. Now, if it doesn't have a kezayis, if it's not omedes letame tuma chamura, then it's not mitztarif to apochus mikazayis of ochlin in order to receive tumah. You'll ask me, why isn't it omedes? Why isn't it potentially being mitame a tumah chamura bebeis hablia? The answer is because it's not an ochel. Either it's not an ochel because most people would not eat this nevela, or maybe he doesn't have a kezayis worth. So therefore, it's not going to be makabel tumah in the case of pochus mikizayis. However, v'ein tzricha hechsher. It doesn't need to be soaked in a liquid in order to be mukshal lekabel tumah. And not only that, it doesn't need contact with the dover tumah like a sheretz in order to be mistameh. Since it's so full of tamei tumah chamura, it becomes tamei b'tumas atzma. And for that, doesn't need contact with a sheretz. It only needs machshava, because it's not omed l'ochel. And once it has a machshava, then we trigger off and activate this principle that it's omed, it's potentially going to be a tumah chamur and avat tumah with beis habliya. But on the other hand, if it transmits a tumah, meaning if this nevela is meant to transmit a tumah, then you require mago, but not only that, you're going to require a kebetza's worth. A metamim tumas ochlin bikebetza. So if this oaf, this nevela of oaf, has the size, the shear of a kebetza, then it can transmit tumah to any ochlin tahorim that came in contact with it. Because an ochel cannot metame another ochel unless it has the shear of kebetza. Now Rashi here, Divrei Maskil Tzricha, talks about being mitzarif a pochus mikizayis of the nevela to another ochel in order to make them together a full volume of a kebetza, so that they can be mitame tuma midover acher. That doesn't seem to be the simple, straightforward pshat in the Mishnah in Taros. Now, we came to the conclusion on Amud Aleph just a few lines ago that an avelis of tar, even though it's sofa letami tuma chamura bebeis habliya, but that principle only applies if it's almost in the beis habliya, meaning it's well on the way. It's in his hand. It's maybe it's in his mouth, and then it could be metame. It could be mitame ochlin umashkin, And it's clear from the Mishnah that the Nevelis of Tar doesn't need Hechsher, doesn't need one of the Zion Mashkim, and the reason is because it's Soful Tami Tuma Chamura. So we must be talking about a case where it's either Biyado or Bipiv, as we saw in the Gemara Liel. And since the Mishnah says that you need Machshava, then apparently it's not in his mouth. Because if it's in his mouth, Ein lecha machshava gedola mizu. So we must interpret this Mishnah as referring to a case where he's holding on to it in his hand. It's not yet in his mouth. And there's no clear-cut decision that he's going to eat it unless he's choshev alev machsheves ochla. And the Gemara asks the following. My love, shouldn't we assume in this Mishnah that this Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir? And if we make that assumption, it becomes clear that Nevelis of Tar transmit Tuma to Ochlin only if it has a shear of Kibetza. And that proves that even if he's holding on to the nevel in his hand, nevertheless, mechusa kreva, he hasn't yet put it into his mouth, is kemechusa maisa. And that's why it's not metame bekezayis, and you require a kebetza. So it's not considered now, sofoli tami tuma chamura as an avatuma. And this is against Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, because Rabbi Chiya bar Abba came to the conclusion that anticipating, as it were, that this nevelis oftar can become an avatuma through Blia, even before that, it has a special status, and it's metame b'kezayis. It can transmit that status of tuma as a rishon to Ochlin, even with a kezayis. Here, the brisa clearly indicates that we need, as a precondition, that it be kebetza. The Gemara says, lo, this Mishnah does not have to necessarily reflect the Shita Rabbi Meir, Ela Rabbanani. The authorship of this Mishnah in Taras can be attributed to Rabbanon. And therefore we cannot come to any conclusion based on this Mishnah as to clarify the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So if we go back to the Safek in Rabbi Meir that we had before, and that is, how do we define mechusa kreva in the case where he has it in his hand? Is it mechusa maisa or not? And the Gemara wanted to come to the conclusion that mechusa kreva is not considered mechusa maisa, and therefore it's metame b'kezayis. The Mishnah in Tara seems to take a different approach, and we need a kebetza. That would mean that in the case where he's holding on to the nevela in his hand, Rabbi Meir would not accept the principle of sofolitame ke'ava tuma tuma chamura. And this is against Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Sigma says, lo, the Mishnah in Taurus is not reflecting Rabbi Meir, but rather Rabbanani. So the Gemara asks, Vaktani Reisha. Let's look at the beginning of the Mishnah of Nevelas of Tar and Taras. It says, Tzricha Machshava V'ein Tzricha Hechsher. And this must be based on the Shita, the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, of Sofel Itami Tuma Chamura. Therefore it doesn't need Hechsher. Uman Shamet Leilai Svara. Who's the one in the Tanoim who accepted the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel about Sofel Itami Tuma Chamura? It was Rabbi Meir. Umida Reish Rabbi Meir, Seifanami Rabbi Meir. Let's assume, by maintaining the symmetry and the integrity of the Mishnah, that if we've proven that the Reisha reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir, the Sefer should also reflect the Shita Rabbi Meir. Which means that even according to Rabbi Meir, the Nevela of an Oaf Tahar cannot transmit Tumah with a Kezayis. Once again, that's against Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. And the Gemara answers, Midi Irya Hakadisa Hakadisa. You don't have to prove from the Reisha to the Sefer. The beginning of the Mishnah reflects the Shita Rabbi Meir, and the rest of the Mishnah reflects the Shita the Chachamim.
So Gemara's not happy with that. V'amida ketani seifa. It says at the end of the Mishnah that according to Rabbi Meir, shchitasa umalikasa mitaheres treifasa mitumasa. The Sefer clearly indicates that we're talking about Rabbi Meir, who says that if you either shech the oftar to remove the status of the vela, or you do malika on the oftar in the case of a carbon of, like chatas of or olas of, is mitaheres es treifasa. It removes the tumas of the tumas nevela. In other words, the shchita or the malika is meaningful to remove the tumah potential in this oath. Man shamet leilai svara. Who is the bala svara who says such a thing? Rabbi Meir. He's the one who said back on Samach Tes this principle that the shchita itself removes any sort of vestige of tumah, even in the case of an oaf trefa, that's the Loshania trefasa, and everybody agrees in the case of behemish and nishchita, even if it's shchita and it's also bachila, it's not metami tumas nevel, it's machlokas tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda on the one hand, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi on the other hand, and in the sugya of Ayin Omid Beis regarding an oaf that after Shchita we find out the oaf was indeed a trefa, and Rabbi Yehuda identifies the din of oaf with the din of behema, they're equalized, an oaf trefa if it was shechted. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's metame tumas nevela because it was a trefa. Whereas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi say that even an oaf has the same status as behema, and therefore the shchita is metame de nevela. Now there's an inner machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi whether or not malika has the same status as shchita. And is it effective, even in an oaf trefa, to remove the tumas nevela? According to Rabbi Yossi, malika is not the same as shchita. The oaf tame is like a nevela, and it is metame. Rabbi Meir says, no, malika is like shchita. Malika and oaf is equivalent to shchita and behema, and it's not metame. So it's motzi midei tumas nevela. Now, this Mishnah that we're learning now says that whether or not it was subject to Shechita or to Malika, that Shechita or Malika is meaningful, is effective, to be Metaya the Trefa of an Oaf Mitumasa. So it means our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Rabbi Yossi, but rather it's Rabbi Meir. Because again, according to Rabbi Yossi, Malika is out of place over here. According to Rabbi Yehuda, even Shechita is out of place because it's a trefa. And the only shita of Tanoim that would allow to be Matayar this oaf, Midei Tumas Nevela, even in the case of a trefa, is the shita of Rabbi Meir. So once again, Man Shamale Lahisvar Rabbi Meir is Resha. According to you, Resha, which says that you don't need Hechsher, and the Seifa, that says both the Shechita and Malika is Metayer the Trefa Mitumasa, is Rabbi Meir. And now Mitziyasa, the middle halacha in this Mishnah, that this Tumas Ochlin only with a Kibetza and not with a Kizayis Kirabbanan. Very strange that the Resha, the Braisa, that doesn't require Hechsher, reflects Rabbi Meir. The Reish of this Mishnah, the Seif of this Mishnah also reflects Rabbi Meir, because both Shechita and Malika are Metayer Midei Tumas Nevela, even though it's a Trefa. But right there in the middle, instead of representing the Shita of Rabbi Meir, the middle, which is discussion about the requirement of Kibetza, that's Kirabanan. According to Rabbi Meir, there's Tumas Ochlin with a Kizayis. We don't need a Shear of Kibetza. And the Gemara says again, in. Even that I'm willing to tolerate. Reisha v'seifa k'Rabbi Meir u'metziyasa k'Rabbanan. And that's not a valid shluga, a valid kash. Now the Gemara wants to continue and deal with the case of Tuma Kala, which according to Rabbi Meir exists in the case in the Velas Oftar. Amale Rav Hamnuna l'Rav Zera. Gemara is trying to add an analysis of the Tuma Kala according to Rabbi Meir in the case of Nevela Softar. Lo Tesev Akarech, don't sit down on your feet, get off your feet. Adi Amrisli Hamilsa, until you can be poshate the following Sofik. Nivlas Oftar l'Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, who accepts the principle of Tuma Kala, even if there's no kibetza, but there's a kizayis, is monim la rishon v'sheni, or ain monim rishon v'sheni. Can we consider, as far as this tumah is concerned, number one a rishon and then a sheni? In other words, if food comes in contact with this nevela, and it's only a kizayis worth of the nevela, does it become a Rishon L'tuma? Which would mean that it can transmit Tuma to another Ochel, another foodstuff that comes in contact with it and makes that second foodstuff into a Sheni. And the other possibility, says Rav Hamnun, is Ein Monim Rishon V'Sheni. Something, a foodstuff that comes in contact with this Kizayis worth of Nevela, of an Oftar, is Tomei, but it doesn't have the ability to transmit the Tuma to something else, to other Ochel. Again, this only applies to Rabbi Meir. According to the Chachamim, you require Kibetza, and then for sure there's no din of Nevela that would be similar to an Avat Tuma, where if something comes in contact, it becomes a Rishon L'tuma, the Rishon could create a Sheni L'tuma. But rather the din of this food that came in contact with the kibetz's worth of nevela is the din of a Rishon L'tuma, and it could only create a Sheni L'tuma. However, according to Rabbi Meir, here we're not sure, because we're not talking about a full kibetz, we're talking about only a kizayis, and we're not sure if it has these dargos of tuma of a Rishon and a Sheni. So that, again, we know that the Shita of the Chachamim requiring a Kibetza would mean that the din of this Nevela that has a Kibetza is that it can transmit Tuma to Ochlin and make it into a Rishon L'tuma, which is Metame, another Nogeba, and make it into a Sheni. We're not sure what would be the deal according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that we're talking about even a kizayis worth. Amalei, so Rabbi Zera responds to Rav Hamnuna, kol hecha, any case where in Tuma, where we have the metame adam b'maga, that if a person would come in contact with it, he would become tame, is monim bo rishon v'sheni. Then it passes on to a Rishon and a Sheni. But kol hecha di ein mitami adam b'maga, ein mogni bo Rishon v'Sheni. This is an absolute principle. I don't know exactly how Rabbi Zera knew about this. He had a Kabbalah, I guess, from his Rebbeim. But the reason for this is that Dargos Tuma for Rishon l'Sheni are derived from Sheretz, and in the parashah of Sheretz Vayikra Yud Aleph in Shmini it says v'chol kli charosh, asher yipol mehem el tocho, kol asher betocho yitma v'oso sishboru. The Sheretz is metame a kli, and it makes it into a Rishon l'Tuma. The kli can be metame ochlin that are inside the kli and make them into a Sheni l'Tuma. But we're not going to derive this with regard to other tumos unless they're similar to a sheretz. A sheretz has the power of being metame odom v'maga, but nevelas oftar is not metame odom v'maga. It's only metame beis ablia, and therefore its tumah is limited to ochlin umashkin, and it could not apply to transmit tumah to odom, and therefore it doesn't have the din of rishon l'tumah. Now, what I'm not sure is, why doesn't this logic, this principle of Rabbi Zeira, apply even according to the Shitas Chachamim? Why is it limited to Rabbi Meir? Meaning, even if I grant you that there was a full kibbetz's worth, however, the tumah of Nevela in Of Tar is limited to, with regard to Adam, is limited to Beis Ablia. And here we're talking about Tumas Maga, and it's Einim Etame Adam Maga. So therefore, once again, Ein Monim Bo Rishon Vesheni. Now there's a footnote here from Chok Noson. I don't know if it's going to help me here at this point, but it's an important point. He says that according to the Chachamim of Meir, that we're talking about a Nevela that has a full share of Kibetza, the din of Nevela, even though it has a kibbetz, is not equivalent to an avatuma, which could generate a rishon l'tuma, and the rishon would transmit it down to a sheni l'tuma. Rather, the din of this Nevela, even though it has a full kibbetz, is the din of a rishon l'tuma. It can only be metame b'maga and set up a sheni l'tuma. It cannot go beyond the sheni l'tuma. It cannot set up a rishon l'tuma. I'm not sure if that sheds any light on this principle of Rab Zeira. Boy minei Rabbi Zeira mi Rav Ami bar Chiyo vi Amri lei mi Rabbi Abba bar Kahano hodisnan. We have a Mishnah. Again, it's not a Mishnah, it's actually a Braisa, that Chiburei Ochlin Al Yidei Mashkin. So we're talking about Ochlin Tmeim. In other words, we have two Chatichos of Nevela, and each one of them has less than a Kezias, which is the Shir Fatuma. And now they're connected one to the other through a Mashkin, some sort of a liquid substance, a moisture that's tofeach, that somehow adheses or connects these two chatichos, is the Braisa says chibur. And therefore, if somebody touches one of these chatichos, it's as if he touched a kezias nevela, full kezias, and he becomes tome. However, that's only as far as l'tuma kal is concerned, to be metame Ochlin umashkin, that came in contact with these chatichos, or with one of these two chatichos, but ein chibur l'tuma chamura. The connection between these two pieces is not strong enough and powerful enough to generate a tuma chamura, which can be metame odom v'kelim, that came in contact with this, with these ochlin. And Rashi says here, if you take a look at Dibur Maschil V'Ein, that Eino Yadua Tam L'chiluk Zeh. In other words, if the Mashke is able to be Mechaber them, why shouldn't that Chibur be meaningful and powerful enough to establish a Tuma Chamura? And if it's not Mechaber them, then it shouldn't even be Metame a Tuma Kala. In any event, Rabbi Zeira raises the following question. He says, "Monim bo rishon v'sheni o ein monim bo rishon l'sheni." In other words, the food that comes in contact with one of these two chatichos, does it become a rishon l'tuma, and therefore transmits tuma and creates a sheni l'tuma b'mago, or no? It's only if the Ochel is nogea directly, that Ochel becomes Tomei, but it cannot transmit the Tumah down the line. That was the question that Rabbi Zera asked Rav Ami. Amar Lei, so Rav Ami responded to Rabbi Zera, Kol Hecha Demetame Adam Monim Rishon V'Sheni. But Kol Tumasha Eina Metame Adam Eina Monim Bo Rishon V'Sheni. And here, since it's not Metame Adam, therefore it's not Metame Bo Rishon V'Sheni. Now at this point we want to go back to the Mishnah with regard to Tumas Begadim in the case of the Par and the Soyer HaNisrafim and the Tumas Begadim and the Misaskim. And we had a case in the Mishnah where there were a group of people that were carrying, as part of the Misask was carrying the Par of the Soyer outside of the Azor. There were the Rishonim that were up front carrying that staff, and they already left the Azorah. The Achronim haven't yet left the Azorah. The Rishonim are Metame Begodim, the Achronim are not Metame Begodim, but Yatsu Elu V'Elu, once the Achronim also exit the Azorah, the Mishnah says, then the Metame Begodim, Elu V'Elu Metame Begodim. And now the Gemara wants to go back to basics. What's the source for Tumas Begodim, for the Misaskim V'Par, and the fact that tumah depends upon yitziah michutz lazar minani mili? The Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa with regard to par shel yom hakipurim, which is called a chatas pnimis, and the basar is burnt outside of gimel machnas, and it's metame begodim lahalon. Now what this means, lahalon, is with referring to a par koed Mashiach and a par helim dover shel tzibur, hu omer. Because when we talk about dividing up, just one second, lahalon, hu omer, again in the parsha, which we'll see inside of Vayikra Tezayin, of Par Koin Mashiach and Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur, it says that the Sreifa is done Chutz L'Sholosh Machnos, meaning outside of Yerushalayim. And we're going to bring these psukim in just a minute. Ve'ilu, but here, Khan, with regard to Par Yom HaKippur, the Pasuk says that the Sreifa is done Chutz L'Machna Achas. The Pasuk says, Ve'es Par HaChatos, is in the Avodas Yom HaKippurim of Achrei Bos. The es par achatos ve'soyer achatos asher huva es domam lechaper bakodesh yotzi el chutz l'machna v'sorfa v'esh es orosom v'es psorom v'es pirsham. And it sounds like the sreifa is in the harabayis, which is called chutz l'machna achas, means outside of the machna shechina. So it's outside the Azorah, but it's not outside of Yerushalayim. It's outside the Azorah within Yerushalayim, and it's in the Har HaBayis. Now, how is that possible? Because we have an equation. We derive halachas from Parim Zemizeh. And this was a sugya back on Daf Pei Gimel with regard to Tumas Begadim, and even earlier on Daf Lamed Tes with regard to Matnas Adam. So all these different parim are derived one from the other. And it's very strange because now, with regard to the par Yom HaKippurim, the Pasuk seems to say that the Sreifa takes place outside the Azorah, but on the Har HaBayis. And that's not so in the cases of par Mashiach and par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur, where we do the Sreifa outside Gimel Machnas, outside of Yerushalayim. So therefore, we have no choice but to assume that since we equate all the Purim, the Sreif of all three of them should take place outside of Yerushalayim, outside of Gimel Machnas. I, in Par Yom HaKippurim, says Yotzi al Michutz LaMachne. How do we interpret those words, from which we thought we should derive outside of the Azor, but within Yerushalayim? Lomar Lecha, Kevin She Yotza Chutz LaMachne Achas Metame Begodin. This is the source for the fact that those who are involved in taking the par outside of the Azorah, the transporters, the carriers, once they cross the bounds of the Kloya Azorah and they go beyond those Chomos, they are Metame Begodim. even though again they are in the second machne, if you will, the machne of the Har HaBayis. So immediately after the par exits from the Azorah, then the Misaskim bo Amitami B'Gadayim. And that, the source for that is this pasuk that says Yotzi El Michutz LaMachne, which implies only machne, only the Azorah. Now the Gemara wants to clarify the din of Sreifas Parim V'Nisrafim Chutz L'Gibol Machtasi Gufa Minolan. What's the source mentioned in this bright, for the din mentioned in the bright, that the Sreifas HaParim V'Asirim has to be done outside of Gimel Machnes? Where did they, from whence did they learn that? The Tanur Rabban in the Braisa says, with regard to Par Kohen Moshiach, it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra Dalid, Vahotzias Kol HaPar El Michutz LaMachne El Makom Tohar El Shefach HaDeshen V'Sarafo So Al Eitzim Ba'esh Al Shefach HaDeshen Yisarev. And we should assume that this Sreifa is going to be implemented Chutz L'Shalosh Machnes. Nuata Omer Chutz Mishalosh Machnos O Eino Elo Machna Achas. How do you know we leave Yerushalayim? Maybe we're just leaving the Azora, and then we're doing the Sreifa. So the Gemara, so the Braisa answers, Shu Omer, when it says in the Parsha of Par Helim Dov Shal Tzibur, the Par Eida, as it's called here in the Braisa, in Perik Dalet, it says Votzias Apar El Michutz LaMachne. V'sarafo so kasher sarfes para rishon chata sakol hu ein tzorich lomar. We don't need this pasuk to teach me that the sreifa is chutz l'machne shrei kvar nemar. The pasuk has already indicated that the sreifa is para ha'edah, the para helim dov shel tziv v'sarafo so kasher sarfes para rishon, which means the sreifa is hapar par koin moshiach, which takes place chutz l'machne. So why did the Torah have to again reiterate the Makom HaSreifa? The answer is coming to be Mosif to add V'litein lo Machnesh Shnia, that the Sreifa should be beyond the second Machne, not the first Machne of Azorah, that we can learn from the Pasuk Kasher Sorof as Par Rishon, but to add to it a second Machne. Ukshomer Michutz lo Machne in the Parashin Vayikra Vav of Hotzas HaDeshen, and it says Votzias HaDeshen al Michutz LaMachne Makom Tahar She'ein Tzorich Lomar. This pasuk was not necessary to teach me that he takes it out of Chutz LaMachne Sharei Kvar Nemar. It says in the Sreifa of Par Kohen Moshiach al Shefach HaDeshen Yisarev, as we mentioned earlier, and therefore we certainly know that the Makom Hotzas HaDeshen is equivalent to the Makom of Sreifas HaParim. So why did Torah have to tell me in the case of Hotzas HaDeshen that the Makom is Chutz LaMach, that's totally superfluous? It must be telling me LaHosif V'Litein Lo Machne Shlishis, that he takes it out Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos for Sreifa, and that means he takes it to outside of Yerushalayim. So just to summarize, in the case of Hotzas Parim V'Usirim L'Sreifa, we have in the Torah three times that the Torah addresses this. Once in Par Kohen Mashiach, once in Par Helim Dover Shel Tzibur, and in Par Sorah Shel Yom HaKippur. In each case, the Torah says, take it Chutz L'Machne. And since we equate one Par with the other, all we needed is for the Torah to tell us once. So the extra two times that are superfluous in that drasha are telling us about a fourth place, which means Chotzah Chutz L'Machne times three, which means Chutz L'Yushalayim. And it's teaching me that the Chotzah HaDeshen, even that you didn't have to tell me that it's Chutz L'Machne, because it already says in Par Mashiach that the Sreifa and the Makom of Chotzah HaDeshen, which is one and the same, is Chutz L'Machne. So then we're going to teach you and derive the Chutz L'Machne means Chutz L'Gimel Machnos, which means outside of the bounds of Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara is dedicated to the din, studying the din of Tumas Begadim, and specifically the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, who says that Parim V'Seirim are Metami B'Gadim only at the time of the Sreifa, but not at the time of the transportation. Hai Michutz L'Machne Mayovid Be. What does he do with the words Michutz L'Machne Par Yom HaKippurim? The Chachamim derive from those words that Parman Yisrofim Ometamib Godim from the moment of Chutzlamacht of Yitziyosam when they leave the Azorah. That is Haskus in carrying the Sawyer and so forth outside the Azorah is enough to be Metame. But according to Reb Shimon, that the Tumah only applies to the Sarfim, is my Ovid Bey, what does he do with the extra Pasuk, Michutzlamachne? The boy Ledig answers he needs it lechirisanya for the din of the brisa. Rabbi Lezer Omer Nemar Khan in Par v'sor shel Yom Kippur and says chutz l'mach. The Nemar Lahalin in Par Aduma in Parshas Chukas it says v'otzio sa'el michutz l'mach v'shachato solofanov is ma Khan b'par v'sor shel Yom Kippur soifason nasis chutz l'shalosh machnos. As we derived in the brisa above, is afle halon in the case of paraduma, the shechita should be done chutz l'shalosh machnos umala halon, just like in the case of paraduma, the hazav dama is lemizracha shel Yerushalayim. The pasuk says v'lokach elazara kohen midama beetzba'o v'izoel nochach pnei oel moed midama sheva pa'amim, means he needs hazav Kineged Pesach Ol Moed. Pesach Ol Moed is towards the Mizrach. And from this we derive that the Hazor has to be done in the Mizrach of the Ol Moed. He stands in the Mizrach with his face turned towards the Marav. And this was done Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos. In other words, Mi Mizrach L'Yerushalayim. And here we turn to Kuvav Hamad Aleph. Afkan here too in Par V'Sor Shel Yom HaKippurim, the Sreif has to be done L'Mizracha Shel Yerushalayim. Now the Gemara wants to clarify the opinion of the Chachamim regarding the Mokum Sreifa. We had Rabbi Shimon who derives the Mokum Sreifa, but El Rabbanon, they don't have this Gezeirah Shavah, is Hecha Sarif Lahu, towards which direction of Yerushalayim should the Sreif of the Parman Yisrofim take place? In other words, there are four Ruchos. We've established the Mizrach, but that's according to Reb Shimon. And the Gemara answers that even according to Chachamim, Kidisanya, we learned in the Braisa, Hechon Nisrofim, where do we burn the Parman Yisrofim and the Seirim and Yisrofim? Litzvon Yerushalayim, towards the northern direction of Yerushalayim. Chutz L'Shalosh Machnos. So we're talking about a chatos, which is kodshei kodshim, and all the maisim of kodshei kodshim are done bitzafon, whether it's the shechita, whether it's achilas habasar, and so too the sreifa has to be done in the case of parman esrafim. They're all chatos outside Yerushalayim bitzafon or litzafon. The brisa now brings another din regarding the Mokum HaSreif, Rabbi Yaglili Omer, with regard to Parman Nisrafim, Siren Nisrafim, Abbas, Hadeshen Nisrafim. He has to leave the Basar, Deshen, from the Mizbeach, you know, place down some Deshen, and then he can call the place a Beis Hadesh is designated as such, and afterwards, and only afterwards, does that place become suitable for Sreifas Chatas Pnimis. And he derives this from the Pasuk in the context of Par, Kohen Moshiach, and Vayikra Dalet. It says, Votzi as kol ha-basar, as kol ha-par, El Shefech Hadeshen, V'sarafo so al Eitzim Ba'esh, al Shefech Hadeshen Yisarev. So what has to come first here is Shefach HaDeshen, and then only afterwards he can do the Sreif in that place. Al Shefach HaDeshen. Now from the language of the Braisa we could derive the following din, that we should burn the Par in the place we have already designated and placed the Deshen. And this is really a Machlokes Tanoim. It's only Rabbi Yossi HaGlili who holds this way. The Tanakama disagrees with Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. which Tana argues with Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Omar Rava Man Tana de Poligale de Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakovi, the Sanya we learned in a Brisa with regard to Srefas Par Koim Moshiach, Al Shefach, the Pasuk says, Al Shefach Hadeshen Yisarev. So we first start here with the opinion of Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. I'm sorry. We're going to first start with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And since it says Shehesham Deshen, it says Al Shevach HaDeshen, so you have to be Makdim and generate a Shem Deshen first, and only then afterwards it's Royal Israfa Sapar. But Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov Omer, let's interpret this Pasuk, Shehe Mekomo Mishupach, that the place for the par, meaning for burning of the par, is Mishupach, it's a Mokom Madron, it's on an incline. And that's where we're going to be Shofek the Deshen. But according to Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, as opposed to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he doesn't require that there have been placed Deshen first. Amalei Abaye Dilma B'makomo Mishupach Pligi. Maybe the whole machlokas here between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov boils down to the issue of whether or not the place for Srefas HaPar has to be Mishupach, has to be on an incline. But as far as the basic din, that Deshen has to be there first, even Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agrees to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, there's no difference. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would say that we derive from this Pasuk, in addition to the fact that the Deshen is there first, that the Deshen has to be B'madron, it has to be on an incline, Nishpachbo. So Gemara quotes another braisa that deals with Srefas HaParim HaNisrafim, at what point it's Mitamei B'godim, Tor Rabbonon. We learned in a braisa, the Pasuk says in Parshas, in Vayikra Tes Zayin, in Parshas Achrimos, it says, Vasoref Osom Yichabes B'godov V'rachatzes B'soro B'moyim V'achrichen Yovol HaMachne. And we're going to dash in it this way. Hasoref, only the Soref of the Parim Vaseirim is Mitame Begodim, Velo Hamatzis Es Ha'or, but not the person who sets on fire the Eish, as Madlik as Eish, is Mitame Begodim, Vil Aflo Hamesader Samarocha, and how much more so he who sets up the Eitzim for the Sreifa, he's not Mitame Begodim. In other words, these people are helping with the ultimate Srefa, but not B'esa Srefa Atzma, not at the moment of Srefa. The moment of Srefa begins after the fire has already been lit. V'ezu Soref HaMesayeh B'Shas Srefa. Who's Metami B'Godim? Only someone who helps at the moment of Srefa, Srefa itself. And this reflects the Shita Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, that there's no Tumas B'Godim until the moment of Hutzas Ha'or, Barov HaPar, O HaSoyer, HaNisrofim. The Braisa continues and brings another machlokas with regard to Tumas Begodim. Yochel, I might think, Af Mishenasu Efer, even after the Par or the Soyer was completely, totally burnt, it's now ashes, is nevertheless still Mitami Begodim, those misaskim, but even at that moment, are still Tomei, Tamed Lomar. It says in the Pasuk Vasoref Osam. And the word Osam is a mute. Osam means while they're Be'en, Mitam and Begodim. But Nasis Efer, it's no longer Be'en, is Ein Mitam Begodim. That's the sheet of the Tanakama here of this Bryce. But Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says, how do you dash in the Pasuk Vasoref Osam? Osam mitam begodim, but nitach habosar ein mitam begodim. In other words, we're not coming to exclude tumas begodim in the case of the Sorev, such as the Tanakhama would have it that after it became Sefer, it's not mitam begodim, but rather we're talking about the Bosar. We're not talking about the Basar becoming Efer, but we're talking about an earlier stage, and that's already Mafkia, the Tumas B'godim, and that's Nitach HaBasar. So, my Beinayu, Omar Rava, Ike Beinayu, the Shavi Charucha. In other words, the Basar got to the point in which it's Charucha,
You know, this is like a sugya in Pesach, in Chometz, that it becomes charucha. Charucha means it's singed, and it's partially burnt, but it's not Efer yet. According to Tanakam, it's still Metame Begodim, it has to become Efer. According to Rav Shimon, it's not Metame because it already reached the stage of Nitach. Hadron Alecha Tvul Yom. And we're up to the 13th perek, which is called Ashochet VeHamale, here on Daf Kuvavim and Aleph. A short introduction, the Torah in Parshas Achrimos tells us that we're enjoined from shechting karbonos outside the Azara. And that applies to anybody, any human being, any Adam Yisrael. It's not limited to Kohanim. And as far as a Goy is concerned, he could be makriv karbonos bachutz, that's a sugyan kuf tes vav, but any ish mi Yisrael is not allowed to be shochet this karbon outside the Azara. And the Torah says the very severe punishment in Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin, ish mi beis Yisrael asher yishchat shor o kesev o eiz b'machene o asher yishchat mi chutz l'machene v'el pesach olmoy lo hevio lakriv korban l'ashem lifnei mishkan Hashem dom yechashiv l'ishahu dom shofach v'nichras ha'ishahu mikerev hamo. So that's the case of shchutei chutz. Also we have an isur of taking a carbon bachutz, and we're not talking about shechita at this point, we're talking about halah, and this is in Parshas Re'eh, and the Torah says in Devarim Yud Beis Yisham Lecha Pen Ta'ale Olosecha. Again, until now we were talking about Asher Yishchat, now we're talking about Ta'ale. So as we said before, this pasuk in Devarim Yud Beis emphasizes the Ha'alah and generates an Isur not to be Zorik the Dam or to be Makta the Bosa of the Ola or the Murim of any carbon on a Mizbeach outside of the Azara. So in addition to Shechita, we have Ma'ale, which as I said, includes all the above. And the Torah specifies that the Chiyuv for violating this Lav is Kares. So if you Shechted or you have Ma'ale B'chutz, if you did it B'shogeg, you Chayv HaKorban Chatos, B'mezid, you Chayv Kares. So this Perek that we're about to begin, and we'll start in Mirtzah Hashem with the Mishnah, is dedicated to addressing the laws of someone who shechts a carbon outside the Azara, or is mala the carbon outside the Azara. Also, in the flip side, if he shechts or is mala bifnim, if he shechts bifnim but he's mala bachutz, or he shechts bachutz and he's mala bifnim, or he does both the shechita and the halah bachutz, the carbon is pasul. So the Mishnah says the following, quoting a Machlokas Tanoim about a Chiv Chatos, is there a Chiv Chatos in the case of Mala Chutz L'Zora, if it was Mala Karbon, which was shechted outside the Azora, Hashochet V'Mala Bachutz, Chayov Al Hashchita V'Chayov Al Halah? According to the Tanakhama, you can incur a double Chiv for both Shechita and Halah on the same carbon, Bachutz. So even though with the first Shechita Bachutz he passes the carbon, nevertheless he's going to be Chayev again a second time, in this case of Shogeg it means another carbon Chatos, for the Halah. And even if he does both Behelim Achas, nevertheless he's Chayev to bring two carbonos for Shogeg, because the Isur Shechita Bachutz and the Isur Halah Bachutz are considered like two separate Isurim. So it's not like he ate Dam and he ate Dam Behelam Achas, which only generates one Chiyuv Karbon, or at least he can patter up those two Chiyuvim with one Karbon. Here, it's like he ate Dam and he ate Chelev, where even if these two took place Behelam Achas, that's irrelevant, they're two separate Isurim. And the Tanakhama maintains that Shechita and Halah are two separate Isurim. They're derived from two different parashios in the Torah, as we said before. One is in Vayikra Yud Zayin, the other is in Dvarim Yud Beis.
But Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Shachat Bifnim, when are you Chayv Halav B'chutz? It's only if the Shechita took place inside the Azara, and then he took the Basar of the Karban, and he brought it outside the Azara, and there he did either the Akhtara, or he was marked to the Basar. Again, in the case of Ola, that's the entire Basar, or let's say the Emurim of Shar Karbanos, and all this Halah he did Bachutz, after he Shechted Bifnim, then he's Chayav, he brings a Chatas for the Halah, but in the case of Shochat Bachutz, he started his process with a Shechita Bachutz, and he already passed the carbon, then Hela Bachutz, he did Akhtar Bachutz, Potan Halah, he's only going to incur one Chiyuv Chatas for the Shechita. Why shall Ohela El Dover Pasul? Because at the point of time in which he did the Halah, it was already a Dover Pasul, meaning the carbon became Pasul with the Shechita Bachutz, and you're not Chayav according to Rabbi Yossi Agli for Halah Bachutz in a carbon that's Pasul. So only if the Shechita, the process, began Bifnim, and then he did the Halah Bachutz, then he's Chayav for Halah Bachutz. Now I want to read to you the language here of the Hebrew translation. He says, Ein Chayavim al Halas Karban Michutz Azor Mishum Halah Bachutz Elim Kenu Karban Amiskabel Bifnim. Meaning that he could have taken this Karban, brought it inside the Azara, and done the Haktara Bifnim, the Halas HaBasar Bifnim. It means the carbon kosher. So since it's kosher for Haktara Al Gabi Mizbeach, therefore he's Maila B'chutz, he's Chayav. But if it would no longer be kosher for Haktara Bifnim, and he was Maila B'chutz, it's a carbon pasul, then he's Potter. And the source for this Halacha of Rabbi Yossi Aglili is the pasuk that says, Vel Pesach Al Moed Lo Yevienu Lassos, and the Gemara is going to dash in later on in Daf Kuf Tes that only a carbon that's miskabel bePesach Ol Moed is chayav for chutz. The Chacham asked the following question on Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Amru lo, the Chacham turned to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and they asked, "Varei af ashochet bifnim umale bachutz kevin shotziu psalo." Why are you telling me that if he did shech the carbon in the inside, in the Azara, Kedasu Kedin, that'll be Chayav Halah B'chutz, the very split second that he takes the carbon out of the Azara, there's already a psul of Yotze, because any carbon, even if it was shechted properly in the Azara, if it's taken out of the Azara, it becomes pasul, and nevertheless he's chayav for the Halah according to you. I mean, you're not denying that, Rabbi Yossi. So you see that Maila B'chutz is chayav even in a case of a carbon that's pasul. So you're not being consistent. The Gemara later on is going to analyze Rabbi Yossi Aglil in the light of this Taina to see how Rabbi Yossi would respond to this Taina. Now the Mishnah continues by presenting a similar machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chacham as far as Achilas Kodshim Betumah is concerned. Now keep in mind that the Mishnah brings this down, this discussion about Achilas Kodshim Betumah here, even though it's not really relevant to the subject matter of this perek, which is dealing with Shechita and Halah, because of the similarity to this machlokes. Hatomei sha'ochal, so we're talking about a person who's tomei, he eats kodshim b'shogeg, bein kodesh tomei u'bein kodesh tar chayev. In other words, the Tanakhama says it matters not whether the kodesh that he's eating and he's tomei is Tomei, the Basar itself was Nitma, so he's a Tomei that's eating Basar Kodshim that's Tomei, or if he eats Kodesh that's Tar, in both cases he's Chayav Achatos for violating B'shogeg and Iser Kores. So again, even though the man himself is tame and he's not allowed to eat basar karbanos, I shouldn't say even though, I should say because, that would be more appropriate. And the Torah says, "Vayikra zayin v'nefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlom asher l'ashem v'tumas ha'olah v'nichrus ha'nefesh ha'hime ha'meha." And if he ate b'mezid, he's chayev kares, because he's tame eating kodshim, and if he ate it b'shogeg, he's chayev achatos. And it matters not whether the basar kodshim is tar or tame. He always incurs, in all cases, since he's tame, a chiyuv chatos. Rabbi Yosef HaGlili Omer, tame sha'achal tar. In other words, if he's tame and the basar is tar, then he's chayev achatos. But tame sha'achal tame, if the basar itself is tame, pot. Why? Shelo achal el davar tame. Now, the chiyuv kares for achiyuv kodshim bituma only applies if the kodshim themselves were tahorim. But if the kodshim themselves are tmeim, then according to Rav Yossi Aglili, even though the gavra is tame, he doesn't violate this isur because the basar itself is tame. The Gemara later on in Kufches is going to explain the reasoning underlying Rabbi Yossi Aglili's psak here. Why isn't he chayef for tumas haguf for the basar is tame? Amru lo, and once again the Mishnah presents the counter argument of the Chacham against Rabbi Yossi. Af tame sha'ochal es hatar, even in your case where he's chayef clearly echatos, where the basar itself of kodshim is tar, is kevin shenogabo, the very second that he lifts it up in his hand is tim'u. With his negir, with his maga, he's metami the basar, and yet he's chayev. So what difference does it make if he was metami the basar at the time that he took it into his mouth, or someone else was metami the basar before he ate it? He should always be chayev. And the Mishnah continues and adds another din, which is universally accepted as far as achilas kodshim b'tuma, and there's no machlokas about this, that tar, sha'achal tamei, if a tar eats basar carbon that's tamei, kodshim tmeim, potter, he's not chayev kares, even if he ate it b'mezid, and therefore if he ate it b'shogeg, he's not chayev achatos. Why she'enu chayev, he's not chayev kares or achatos, ela al tumas haguf. Only if he eats kodshim and he himself is tamei, here he himself is tar, and although he's not allowed to eat the kodshim b'tumas habasar, if the basar is tamei, nevertheless it doesn't incur a chiyuv chatos. The Gemara is going to darshan a pasuk to prove that achilas basar kodshim b'tuma, which is codified by the Torah in Vayikra Zayin, b'tumasa olav v'nichrasa, it's only a tuma she'echolu lefrach ulistalik, a tuma that's removable, which means the tuma of olav that's on the gavra, on the adam, and he could be mesalik that tuma through tvila b'mikvah. Just he hasn't done so yet. But in contrast, the basar, once it becomes tummy, there's no tara liolam. And therefore, it's not included in this isu. So we'll stop here, and we'll continue the Gemara Mirtz Hashem tomorrow.